Let's all stand to our feet, shall we, with great regards towards God's word. Our Bibles are open to the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 4 through verse number 6. Listen to the word of God. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I command him in Hebron for all Israel. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Covenant education. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful to be in this holy sanctuary today to worship you, the holy God of heaven and of earth. And so, Father, today we pray that you might teach us well, because indeed, God, you are our teacher, and we are your disciples, your students. Now, Father, teach us covenant education, that we might cover, that we might carry out our mandate upon this earth to teach all nations. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As Christ followers, we believe that Jesus Christ is the fountainhead of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He's the Logos, the divine order, reason, logic, wisdom, and the Word. And the omniscient God, the all-knowing God, has created an intelligible universe that is ordered, that we live in. And this world, this universe, is worthy of our consideration and investigation. And thus there are hundreds and hundreds of fields of study. And it all stems from one person. You see, all these fields of study are predicated upon the fact that the creation is not impersonal, but it stems from a person, namely God, God the Creator. He wants to be God your Father, the making of family, God becoming your Father and you becoming his sons and daughters involves the establishing of a covenant. So exactly, what is a covenant? The word covenant literally means to cut. It is a sacred act to make family. To make God your family and you his sons and daughters, it typically involved the sacrificing of seven animals, seven lambs in the Old Testament. It involved an oath and a token, and there was a seal of the covenant. So in other words, when there was the Davidic covenant, the sign and seal thereof was the rainbow. When there was the Abrahamic covenant, the sign and the seal thereof was circumcision. When there was the Mosaic covenant, the sign and seal thereof was the Sabbath day. So here in Malachi chapter 4, God's covenant people Israel were being called to remember the covenant they had with God. Look at verse number 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I command him in Hebron for all Israel. You see, Israel had been taught the covenant, but they had broken the covenant. They had disobeyed the covenant, and they had laid it aside. So Malachi's job was to bring Israel's attention to their covenant abuses against God. You see, they were guilty, the priests, of offering despicable animals upon God's altar. The priests were divorcing their wives unjustly. They were marrying pagan women, which were violations of God's covenant. And the people were withholding paying their tithes at the temple. And through oracles, through divine pronouncements, Malachi was now confronting the priests and the people. Malachi confronted the people with the intention to convert the people. You see, to convert means to turn back to truth. You see, what is the point? What are the points of application for us this morning? You see, the breakdown in ancient Israel was the failed relationships between the fathers and the children. I wonder, are there any failed relationships between fathers and their children in America today? Fathers and their children in Prince George's County, fathers and their children in Witch Dream Church. Look at verses 5 through 6. Behold, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord.
He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Listen to me. These are the very last words of the Old Testament. The Old Testament begins with a blessing, and God blessed. God said, and it is good, and it is good. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six of the creation, and it was good. God's blessings upon the creation. But when you come to the last sentence of the Old Testament, the last word is the word curse. How in the world can you go from blessings to a curse? How in the world can you go from 39 books, if you would, and the last word in the last book in the Old Testament is the word curse? The way you get to the word curse is the breakdown and the failed relationships between fathers and their children. Let the church say amen. So let's bring it all full circle this morning. The first point I want you to jot down as point number one is this. This church is composed of spiritual fathers, elders. The church is composed of spiritual fathers and elders. You see, as a spiritual father, as an elder, God led me to establish Wistering Christian Academy more than 17 years ago. The academy is the reaching and teaching arm of the church. You see, covenant education is for the purpose of saving of the soul. Let the church say amen. You see, the formation of the soul in wisdom, knowledge, virtue, understanding, prudence, reason, and logic. You see, yes, God has saved your soul, but now there must be the formation of your soul. And the formation of your soul needs to take place not on a trivial level, not on just a primary level, but on a high level. God wants to formulate your soul and build up your soul in wisdom, knowledge, understanding, prudence, virtue, and excellence, reason, and logic. And in and through the academy, we teach the children that God has created an intelligible universe that is worthy of your consideration and investigation. But what is the problem? What is the dilemma? A crisis of spiritual fatherhood is a crisis of covenant education. Let me say that again. A crisis of spiritual fatherhood is a crisis of covenant education. If you listen intently when I began this message, did you notice that the covenant abuses far and wide were against the priests, the spiritual fathers of the nation? And because the spiritual fathers were guilty of covenant abuses, the result were the children of Israel, if you would, were out of fellowship and covenant with God. You see, beloved, a crisis of spiritual fatherhood is a crisis of covenant education. Why? Because fathers educate. The biblical mandate is for the fathers to teach the children. Let me say that again. Go to any school. Far and wide, the educators are women. Wonderful. Outstanding. Many outstanding, gifted, talented female teachers. And they do phenomenal work. Let the church say amen. However, in the Bible, the explicit duty to teach the children is given to the father. The wife is the complement. She's the suitable helper. She is the helpmeet. She can assist her husband in a complementary way with this task and that duty and that obligation. But bottom line, when God looks down upon the family and when God looks down upon the children, the burden of responsibility to educate the children falls upon the shoulders of the father. And if the children are derelict if the children are illiterate, if the children are being corrupted in a school system that does not acknowledge God, that does not welcome God, then that burden, that responsibility falls upon the shoulders of the father, and the father will have to stand before God and give an account how their sons and daughters were corrupted, and did they do anything to try to stem the corrupting of their young, impressionable minds. Fathers, be a spiritual father and give your children over to the covenant of education. You see, beloved, all the spiritual fathers of this church, every man of this church is obligated that we foremost are responsible for the education of our children and grandchildren. Christian education involves sacrifice. Let me tell you something. If you don't sacrifice, God does not receive your worship. Let the church say amen. It took a sacrifice for you to get up this morning and come to church, to be here at 8 o'clock. To rise and shine and give God the glory. You could have stayed in your bed. You could have stayed under the sheets. You could have stayed in the confines and warmth and comforts of your home, but you decided, I will rise and shine and give God the glory. That required a sacrifice. And because you have been willing to sacrifice, God honors your worship. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Worship without sacrifice is no worship at all. Somebody says, well, to go to church is an inconvenience. I didn't feel like doing it this morning. God didn't want you to come if you weren't willing to make a sacrifice. If you're willing to sacrifice, God accepts your worship. We're to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. Let the church say amen. You see, beloved, Christian education involves sacrifice. It will cost you something to educate your sons and daughters in the things of God. But I'm here to tell you, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. How many parents all throughout this nation, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, they can give testimony later in life, and some of them will say this. For some of them, their greatest regret was the following. I made a great mistake when I took my child out of Christian school. And some of their sons and daughters, not all, but some of their sons and daughters have never recovered morally nor spiritually when their child was taken out of Christian education. But there's a second thing I want you to know. Secondly, so how did God address the lack of spiritual fathering in Israel? Point number two, God sent two sons to Israel to convert the fathers. God sent two sons to Israel to convert the fathers. Okay, who were the two sons that God sent? The first son that God sent to Israel to convert the fathers was a son of a priest. And that's amazing, because the priests were really the problem. So God sent a son of a priest, and the son of the priest's name was John the Baptist. John was preaching the baptism of repentance to bring the children of Israel back to the covenant. And then God sent another son to the children of Israel. God sent his only begotten son to Israel. Jesus says, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you see, the Bible tells us this when applicable to Christ. For as many as received him, he gave them the authority to become the sons of God. Sons of God. that they now could be spiritual fathers to their children. God was turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. You see, Christian schools, Christian education are a testament to spiritual fathers who love souls, even young souls, for Jesus Christ. And let it be known, as I'm about to share some very pointed information with you right now, is this. When Christian schools close, darkness spreads. When Christian schools close, darkness spreads. Last week I told you, if you would, churches are closed, hell is open. Do you think darkness is spreading? If you believe it, raise both hands. Listen to me. When Christian schools close, darkness spreads, humanism spreads, agnosticism spreads, secularism spreads, socialism spreads, communism spreads, atheism spreads, abortion spreads, premarital sex spreads, violence spreads, ignorance of God spreads, contempt towards parents spread, damnation of many souls spread. Christian education is not mere private education, it is God's education. Dedicated to Jesus Christ, to the glory of God, and the furtherance of the gospel. Thirdly, Christian covenant education is a moral stabilizer. There is a battle for souls. There's a battle of salvation or damnation of the souls of young children. Today, like never before, we need to hold the cross of Jesus Christ up high. Let the church say amen. Christian education, we must keep the oil in the lamp of Christian education. Christian education is a matter of the soul, the souls of children, the souls of a nation, the souls of succeeding generations. Last week, I told you again, churches are closed, but hell is open. But please understand me when I say this. There are hundreds and thousands of churches that are not only closed now, but they are permanently closed. Do you not understand? Many churches, when this pandemic is over, will never reopen again. In particular, small churches and startup churches that were, if you would, very fragile, they have gone under. They're closed for good. Do you understand what's happening in the private sector? Among black-owned businesses, upwards anywhere from 40 to 60% of black-owned businesses will no longer have their doors open but will close permanently. You say, what you're trying to tell me, Pastor? I'm telling you this. Not only are there churches by the thousands that will not reopen, but there are hundreds and thousands of Christian schools that will close permanently and never reopen their doors at some point in this pandemic and after this pandemic is over. So, if thousands of churches are now permanently closed, and if thousands of Christian schools are now permanently closed, what do you think the implications for a country, a nation is? All I can tell you is, Christians, wake up. Satan is having a field day. Spiritual fathers of this church, spiritual mothers of this church, let us, under God, commit ourselves to the holy duties of keeping our church doors open and our Christian academies open. If those doors close, darkness will overtake this nation. And I'm here to tell you, we are on the verge of seeing things we have never seen before. If churches by the thousand, and if Christian schools by the thousands shut down, you will see exponentially the increase of demonism, darkness, violence, anarchy will overtake this nation, and the souls of children will be corrupted. The Bible tells us Jesus' last command, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have taught you. What I've taught you, you teach them. In season, out of season, when there's a pandemic, when there's not a pandemic, let the doors of the church remain open. Let the doors of Christian schools remain open, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The crisis of covenant education are the failed relationships of fathers to their children, because fathers are mandated under God to be the teachers of their children. Therefore, in a male-led church, the fathers of the church are to come together and under God, provide the opportunity and open the doors so that children can be educated in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to the glory of God and the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that their souls are not corrupted and that the successive generations may continue in the fear and knowledge of Almighty God. What more noble of task is there than that? Covenant education. Let us stand and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Start slow, speak low. Speak higher, catch fire. And Father, we have spoken in your holy name today. God, we've spoken about covenant education. God, you're the God of the covenant. You are not only God creator, but you're God our Father. And God, you want your children to be taught well. Let the church say hallelujah to the Lamb. God, you want your children to be taught well. God, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, Father, help us to carry out our calling under you. God, help the members of this church, the spiritual fathers, the spiritual mothers, to come together to pray and yearn before you, God, beseeching you, God, keep our church doors open. Keep our Christian schools doors open. God, if the doors shut, darkness will reign. Oh God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.